We are now reconvened for the administrative portion of the meeting. We have two items on consent. I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, we have two discussion matters on the agenda. The first is Emmons Logan Wynn TV reception issue.
Yes, so yesterday in this docket, which we have created an internal I-case for, I-20-241, I filed a memo with my findings. I think it was not quite a month ago, the commission asked staff to do an investigation into the problems. And I've only been able to find three residences that are currently having the issues. Anton, Mitch, and Kevin Lear, or Liar, depending on how you want to pronounce it. They pronounce it differently, so one of them says Liar, the other two say Lear. In any case, they're all three having issues. They range from loss of one or two channels all the way up to the loss of nearly all of their channels. At present, they are happy with the steps NextEra is taking to resolve this for them. I gave all of them my direct extension and asked them to please reach out to me if they have any issues or they'd like our assistance, but we largely intend to stay out of the way as long as progress is happening. They were all happy with that as the current solution. And I have been speaking with Casey Fury, who represents NextEra. They are currently using a company by the name of Broadcast Wind, who has experience in both the U.S. and Canada in resolving issues of this nature, and they've given an estimate of 2 to 6 months to do a study and find a resolution for the case or for the specific issues.
Victor, did you create a memorandum for this?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I have a couple questions on the memo.
Yeah, Commissioner Christman.
So, 2 to 6 months from now or from when these issues start? When did they say that?
The 2 to 6 months was from when the company was engaged in the process, which I believe it's been within the last 2 weeks, I think.
Oh, they didn't start that earlier this summer?
No, they initially tried to use a local company just to try to use someone local. What they found out is that company wasn't capable of kind of the scale of the issue that they were having. That's when they kind of moved over to something that has more national level experience.
Okay. And then in the attachments to the memo,
mm-hmm.
It just leaves me lacking something in that the attorney for NextEra, the last email attached is, and I've had this in other cases too, we're meeting with them tomorrow morning, and that's a month ago, and now we get the memo. So, well, what happened at that meeting and in the last month? Did they resolve it? Or
sure.
It sort of leaves you thinking, yeah, tomorrow we're going to fix this maybe, but that's a month ago already.
Right. And I have spoke to them since that last email. This is the result of that meeting, the moving to Broadcast Wind to find the solution. So
we didn't really get a report from the company's side of it as to how that meeting went.
Right. I got one verbally over the phone from Casey. Okay.
So, Victor, these three Lears, they want a solution, technical solution, so they can continue getting their broadcast television.
Correct. They, they're all kind of in different stages as far as what they would exactly like. At least two of them would like their TVs to just work as they always have been. One of them is a little bit more open as to what the solution would be. But I think what would make them all the happiest is if they could simply have some sort of solution, either a connection to a commercial. That's been the suggestion from one of them, is a commercial grade TV tower that they can be hooked up to.
I mean, is there a? I don't know how much we get involved in this. Is this a specific piece of siting? Is it? I mean, how much leverage do we have here, and or responsibility? And I mean, how much is it costing to involve this company to research it and provide some sort of a solution that, you know, there are other ways to get television service.
There are. And I will say, you know, I kind of listed a little bit of detail on this in my memo, but there are at least six other, if not seven other residences that have had this issue as well. Immediately the company offered everyone, including the Lears, cash settlements to sign away their rights to this issue. And at least, like I said, six, if not seven of those folks by now have taken that settlement. Can I say the amount, Jack? Okay. It's a considerable sum that may attract a lot of folks, but these three in particular recognize that you can't pay for a TV service with this amount of money for 25 years.
Okay. Well, I guess, and maybe the cost isn't an issue that we need to think about, but I do think about, you know, this generates power that is sold and used by the public, and this kind of stuff does raise costs. So, I mean, if there's an economical solution that we can be advocating for, and to the extent we can do that, I would be in favor of doing that, but I don't even know if that's our role in this case, so it's just a concern I have.
I know reception, both TV and radio, is, I believe it's a selection criteria item within siting. I guess it would be up to the lawyers how strong they feel that gives us a position to advocate for anything or require anything, but it's certainly something that's at least part of our siting criteria.
And it's kind of surprising to me that we haven't heard of this before. All the cases we've cited, and we've never had this complaint.
I think that possibly there are areas of the state that, just because of how broadcast TV towers are situated around the state geographically, there are areas of the state that get some really good free broadcast TV service, and other areas of the state that don't get very good free broadcast TV service. And this area probably got really prime service for free. And when it got cut off, it became an issue.
I see.
And in a lot of other areas, they probably lost very little. And so it never came up. To me, it's been a learning experience because, I mean, if you just by nature or technology, if you have something and then a new industry comes in, a wind farm comes in, and you lose it, you have an adverse impact, no doubt about it. And it's certainly something that I'm going to be questioning on future cases, I think, and
yeah.
keep an eye on this. But I guess I don't know whether there's any kind of a siting violation, and that, I mean, clearly they did cause an adverse impact that they didn't tell us about in the hearing. It sounds like we're on the way to a resolution for these people, but so if it's resolved for them, I suppose in many cases we wouldn't bring a case on the company for that, but I do think it's, like I said, going to be a learning thing that will be something to explore on future cases.
I think it's really odd when you think about the fact that, okay, so wind towers have been around for what, half a century now? Wind farms, wind facilities. And this hasn't come up before in terms of, or maybe it's come up, but it hasn't made its way to the commission.
That's what my assumption would be. It's, to my knowledge, it hasn't come up before the commission in the past, but that's not to say it hasn't happened on other wind farms. No, this one maybe has a higher density of the issue. I mean, if you look at kind of where this wind farm is, so there's some radio towers south of Mandan around by the St. Anthony area, which I believe all of these folks are pointing their antennas towards.
Oh, okay.
The wind farm is right in the middle.
Yeah, you would think that certainly that this has been happening for quite an extended period of time, but I would hope that wind developers would be proactive in the sense that they're looking at where the TV radio towers are and where their facility is going to be and who might be impacted, because I think there has to be some data behind this to say, well, in all likelihood, and then if they're participating landowners even to work with them and to say, okay, you know, here's one of the negatives. If you have, you know, a rooftop antenna, you may not have as good a reception, and maybe they do. I just don't know enough about it, but you'd think that.
Sure.
Certainly the fact that the company Broadcast Wind exists and has experience in studying and remediating reception issues near wind farms tells me it might be a new issue here in North Dakota, but it's not national.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think the study from that company would be interesting to get our hands on once that's available, because they don't just go and start throwing up antennas. They actually study the topography and the, you know, what's happening to the signals before they come up with a solution. So I think whatever that study is would be interesting to get a copy of, so that we know how to proceed on future wind farm siting cases, what to be concerned about, what kind of questions to ask.
But for now, we're just letting them report back. They're doing their study and reporting back, and we're done with it until they do.
Yes, okay. Or unless we hear from the landowners that they're no longer happy.
Sounds good.
And another clarifying, there was a reference to participating landowners. Not all of them are participating. Two of them are. One of them is not a participating landowner.
Mm. Well, here's an article. I quickly just Googled it. Here's an article from 2002, wind turbines interfere with TV reception. Here's one from 2004, TV interference from wind turbines, et cetera. So it's obviously been an issue for a while. And do we know if the company does or did work with these landowners in advance of this happening, saying this might be a potential issue? Do we have any idea either way?
Brian, what time do you need to leave?
About 20 after.
Okay. There is one more item for discussion, too.
I don't have any other questions. Commissioner Fedorchuk, Commissioner Crispin?
I do not.
Nor do I. Sounds good, Vic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item is EV discussion. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
So you should have in your packet this study. So this is the interim study. We did have staff, Jack and Brian, participated in some of the meetings that led to this. And the report was drafted and then redrafted and kind of refocused on the initial or the requests of the legislature. So it's in a much better form than the original draft, and it's much more clear. So I think it's a good report. I've kind of skimmed through it. There are some things, implications for us in this whole issue, as we've talked about before. But, you know, I don't know if you guys have read this or not, but on page 9, it kind of lays out the network of charging stations that is being developed currently by Tesla and the state through the Volkswagen dollars. And then they were supposed to look at how, you know, what would a more refined network look like in the state with a 50-mile diameter between stations, and that. That sort of it lays out in the pages after that, and then the options and economic impact, et cetera. And baked in there is some information that applies to us in terms of how EV charging stations are charging for the electricity that they provide. And some of this, I guess where I'd like to go, I mean, I think we all should be familiar with this because I think it'll come up in the next session. Secondly, prior to the session, I think we should clarify, and that's Jack and I have talked about this, and we've talked about it a little bit too, but we should clarify the how we view the existing law in terms of our relationship to charging infrastructure, or I don't know how you would describe it, Jack, but make it clear that we don't see ourselves regulating charging stations. Or how would you describe what we need to clarify, Jack?
There are a number of issues around the charging stations jurisdictionally that we would have to probably evaluate, and including operationally how they kind of they function. For example, say if there is a charging station, a DC charging station that is just providing battery service or recharging service to batteries for electric vehicles, or as opposed to a charging station who maybe self-generates and provides the battery service and also some distribution service. So it really would be, I think, helpful for the commission to provide some sort of advisory, maybe after a quick initial request for stakeholder comments, to at least for the industry as well as for the legislative groups that are working to try to create some sort of workable guidance for the legislature in the next session.
Yeah.
The two things that, and maybe it was on page 9, but the two things I picked up when, in fairness, I skimmed it too because, but looking at, so the weights and measures aspect was brought up in the report, and then charging by the hour or charging by the kilovolt, I believe, kilovolt hour. How would we, pardon?
Kilowatt hour, I believe, yes.
Yeah, kilowatt hour. How would we, or charging stations across the country, do they have to be certified in terms of the amount of electricity they're actually putting out? It just seems to be a broad area, because then do we get into utility service at the meter, and are the meters accurate?
Sure. Well, we do ensure that the meters are accurate, and this normally does fall under normal weights and measures programs for most states, so it would be something that I believe that we would be involved with doing.
Okay.
But this I'm not sure if the weights and measures aspect is something that we need to be overly involved with. At this point in time, I think just a general advisory of what the commission believes its jurisdiction is on with regards to DC charging stations may be helpful.
It already said, I don't have an interest, and I don't know that it's appropriate that we regulate how the infrastructure is placed and how industry goes about it.
Sure.
So we've got the weights and measures side, and I don't know if it extends beyond that or not.
I think I agree with you, but not in the way you phrased it, maybe. So as I sat during our work session, and I only skimmed this, as you two have both said, maybe I'm missing an explanation here, but I get conflicting messages just on page 4 alone. So when we had our work session, going back to that, I felt good about where what I took out of XL and MDU's comments. My notes said XL not wanting to compete with convenience stores, MDU no plans to own or operate charging stations. Ottertail Power, on the other hand, indicated they're focusing on Minnesota. They have one in now. They wanted to get to a point where all their consumers would be within 60 miles of a commercial one and then move into North Dakota to just say, well, we're not regulating this, and let them do that. We do regulate them. And I am not an advocate, at least at this point, unless I learn something new that changes my mind, of having these regulated utility companies be the providers of this. They even mentioned filling a gap that private investment does not. Well, if our regulated utilities fill the gap will never be big enough for private investment to enter. Mm-hmm. And so I do not like that model. Now, as I look at this report that was sent out this morning shortly before the meeting on page 4, up toward the top, the first of those three bullet points, there's a recommendation. EV charging stations should be privately owned and publicly available. That sounds like what I'm talking about, that, you know, convenience store or someone just starting something new provide this some to the public. But then toward the bottom of the page, there's three more bullet points. First one is design jointly owned public and private network. Mm-hmm. That seems like a conflict to me, and I'm not.
Well, I think that's exactly why we need to weigh in on what we see as our jurisdiction prior to the policymakers taking this up whenever they do that. And so whatever the process should be, Jack, I mean, if you want to draft something, we look at it, approve it, get it out for public comment, and then go from there, if that makes some sense.
If I could just finish my thoughts on it. On page 15, it indicates North Dakota does not allow kilowatt-hour billing by retailers. And previously it mentions a lot that that might be important to have kind of a mix so that someone doesn't just sit in a parking spot for 10 hours and occupy it and have that mix. My understanding is that that's not in the law, but just in the rule, but that we can allow it among our regulated companies either by changing the rule or through their tariffs. I don't have strong feelings on which way we do it, but if a rule change is advisable on that, I'm fine with changing that if that's what will be helpful in getting private investment into this game, if that's a part that they feel that they need as a problem. So I just wanted to throw that out.
We're currently going through administrative rulemaking right now, and I was going to recommend that we put in an exception for the resale of energy in our administrative rules for EV charging stations. But, of course, that kind of piggybacks along with where the commission views this jurisdiction at. I could pretty easily write up an evaluation advisory on this, but and the alternative, what I would probably say is the most appropriate way of going forward would be to at the commission's request, staff would open up an investigation, reach out to interested stakeholders, provide 30 days for comment, and allow us to create a record upon which the commission would like to provide some sort of advisory and write that subsequent to that.
Sure.
I would be okay with that. I think the wording would be extremely important as not to give the impression, from my standpoint, and I think it's consistent with, and we are consistent in terms of your thoughts in terms of, you know, regulatory responsibility, Commissioner Crisman. But I don't want a memo to be issued and then to go out to where people get the impression that we might be looking to latch on to some of this from a regulatory standpoint. So it'd be very, I think we have to be very careful how that is put forth, because that's up to the private sector, how they, it's like a gas station. I agreed with the one point. It's like owning a gas station.
Sure.
We may have responsibility on the weights and measures side, but I don't care how many gas stations go in. That's for free market forces to decide, not for a regulatory body. So that's very careful. The other part, though, just remember on like a whether it's an Otter Tail or another utility, we may regulate the utility. If they do get into this business, they will almost certainly form a subsidiary to have this type of a business model in place, you know, to avoid regulation. So it's
which would be interesting because then they'd be selling power to their subsidiary.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep. So
we'd have the rate side of it.
Yeah. There's interesting issues there, but I think you're on the right track, Jack, for how to get started and get it rolling as soon as we can. So we can get some clarity and have, because this will be out there and there's confusion in here. If we clarify our role and how the law is and what we see our jurisdiction is, that will help eliminate some of the confusion created in here. And then it'll be kind of in tandem, I think, a good foundation for policy discussions.
I think that would also provide us an opportunity to at least make some sort of decisions prior without actually having to go through the more cumbersome procedure of the rulemaking for the time being. And then we could run subsequently to that some rulemaking to provide that clarifications. But I guess on that note, unless I hear otherwise from the commissioners, I'll intend to just open up a staff investigation. We'll write up a recommendation to the commission subsequent to that. And then if the commission would like to, at that point in time, they can provide an advisory of where they feel this should go.
Perfect.
Yeah. And then one more request, and I don't know if this would be part of of that evaluation, or I'm sure Conrad is listening, if it's just something for weights and measures to look into. This report said somewhere that some states are already have this private sector sale by the kilowatt hour. I'm curious how they go out and check those meters, and is equipment to do that in a timely manner expensive? Mm-hmm. Does it potentially involve being done by an electrician as opposed to someone who we would already have on board on our weights and measures? We should find out a little bit about that, because what I'm sensing is we're moving toward this, that at some level, either through tariffs or rules, that something's probably going to be changed so they can sell power for resale, and we're going to need to make sure that the measuring tools are accurate.
Sure. I can speak with Conrad, and we could follow up with that. My general understanding is we would need some additional equipment. This falls under Weights and Measures Handbook 44 as it is. But, of course, we're anticipating a notable number of charging stations across the state, so that would be difficult with maybe current Weights and Measures staff. They have two, might be stretched pretty thin based upon that.
Although I suppose they'd only have to check the ones that were charging by the kilowatt hour.
They may actually have to do the ones by the hour as well. There may be some standardization under the Handbook 44, but I guess I won't go into detail on that.
We also could look at it potentially from a compliance standpoint, to where we're not actually going out and testing the devices. They have to have a commercial tester, mm-hmm. because there are a lot of gas pumps, for example, and even scales in North Dakota that we don't test, but we watch on the compliance side versus the testing side. So I don't know if it necessarily means we have to have a third person, for example, or another person in that role, or if that's a private sector provider that companies are responsible to obtaining to be in compliance with the law, because both avenues are effective.
Sure.
So we can have that conversation as well.
Sure, and we could do that subsequent to the memorandum being provided.
Yeah.
We'll have an opportunity to all sit down.
Do you need a motion to initiate an investigation?
I think I'm going to take this as staff direction, and the staff will initiate the investigation on their own and provide the recommendation to the commission.
Good. I think you're a good listener. Sweet.
Okay, is there any other further discussion on that item? Thank you for your work on this so far, and it's a fascinating area. It'll look quite differently a decade from now than it does today. So, any other discussion items that aren't on the agenda, or scheduling matters?
The one thing that I thought would be, I'd like to just throw out there is, and maybe we can deal with this next time, but just so we don't lose track on it and it, like we strike while it's hot, follow up on the one call stuff, like if we could set up a time frame where how long you think it would take to come back with a plan for how we're going to deal with that education component. And then kind of put that marker out there for a discussion, an admin discussion, like I don't know, early November, or
we could even add it to a discussion on the next commission meeting, because now I feel comfortable really engaging with Ryan, for example.
Okay.
Ryan Schmaltz, it was just hard. We hadn't taken the vote yet.
Sure. That makes sense.
So it was kind of pumping the brakes, not on setting up, okay, we're going to talk about this, but
right.
This is, like you had mentioned, I think both of you, this is a prime case to talk about. So how about if I connect with Ryan, bring back some information for a brief discussion on the next meeting, and then we can
sounds good
set a time frame.
I don't think it has to be next meeting,
next
but
the next after,
be as good as any if you can get it done quickly.
All right, and with Victor obviously involved as well. So
did you were planning to reach out to Ryan? Did you want me to?
I'm gonna call him just because we had started to go down that road. And I know you.
I have talked to Ryan about that.
Well, unless, how about we do this? How about if you and I hop on a call at the same time? And I know you've talked to him, and now I'm comfortable. Why don't we just schedule something over the next week, and you and I can hop on with Ryan and a call, and so we're all on the same page and go from there. Okay, perfect.
Sounds good.
Okay.
And I think we need John. Hamry?
Pardon?
I think we need John Hamry.
To sign.
All right. Nothing further? Then we are adjourned.